Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
What the hell's El Clasico? Soccer ain't in my language, okay?
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
K-Wood didn't call soccer, he called basketball.
Right.
And James Strebel.
I want names, I want numbers. I want to know who to freaking contact.
I don't know.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I'm going to root against Kentucky till the day I die. If they beat Georgia, I'm going to say Georgia sucks. Say Georgia's the most overrated crap number one team of all time. And I'm going to move on with my day. It's not going to bother me one bit. You're going to be like, well, your credibility. You can kiss my whole rear end with your credibility talk.
I will not kiss your whole rear end, Rummage.
His whole rear end.
I will not do that. 5 o'clock hour. Let's go. Bozich going to join us in just a second. It's The Take on ESPN 680-1057. Andy's Sweeney, James Strebel, Jack Grossman hanging out with you on this Thursday. Stuart Mandel going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And the 5 o'clock hour, as always, presented by our good friends at Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. Go to Cox'sLouisville.com. They're now delivering. Find out more. Become a VIP over there. Hey, yeah. How about that? You can find a location near you. All the beer, wine, spirits, those premium cigars, Evergreen Liquors, locations at Craft Beer Selection. It's all about you. Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. And they bring you the 5 o'clock hour here on The Take. It's ESPN Louisville. 437-968. We'll get to Bozich, like I said. Stuart Mandel going to join us. We also need to get to this ESPN story here at some point. Alex Scarborough wrote a long, in-depth piece, and I believe it's on the free side of ESPN.com.
Oh,
so there you go,
okay.
Strebel. Even though you do have ESPN Plus.
I do have it,
you do
yes.
have that. Mitch Barnhart says that they need to get an indoor facility.
Oh, wow. Bend the knee to Stoops.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
How about that?
That's what he does regularly.
A source said that, you know, Stoops, he's still playing with a short stick. First of all, Jack, save that for the mixtape if you don't mind. He says they haven't caught all the way up to speed, talking about the indoor facility and talking about more money to assistant coaches, which means Vince Mero. Give him another 100. So I don't know the numbers on assistant coaches. It feels like every year they get a bump, and it feels like this year everybody will get a bump.
Everybody.
If they keep going, especially if they win 10 games. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. We can do so tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it talked, you know, about the very beginning, and of course it's got Vince Mero in it and everything else.
That
so
is a substantial article there.
How about that?
That's a
substantial.
Long one. Yeah.
Look at
that. That's all Stoops.
I don't think it's it's not even the insider. So
no paywall.
No paywall with that one. Well, let's get Bozich. Rick Bozich, WDRB at Rick Bozich, if you want to follow him on Twitter there. Rick, good afternoon. Sorry about your White Sox. Sorry.
I don't think it's okay. I had a good time, you know.
I knew that was
a substantial risk when I went up there, but met a friend of mine from New Jersey who's originally from Gary, who's a big White Sox fan, and we went to the game on Sunday, and then I decided to stay because you never know
sure.
when they're going to be in the playoffs again, and went again on Tuesday, and that didn't work out so well, but, you know, like I told you earlier today, 124 days until pitchers and catchers report, baby.
All
right.
Not that you're counting. You scored each game, correct?
Yes, I did. My
there
dad taught me how to keep score when I was a kid, so
there
I kind of feel like it kind of connects me to him when I'm doing that.
Cause, well, there you go.
I used to keep score, so it was fun.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, even though, you know, it is what it is. And so baseball's happening. Our old friend Mitchell Hannigan is sad. His guy Mike Schilt was – is that his name, Jack? He was fired today. So there
he
you
was.
Go. He was fired. Yeah, it was like right when we went on the air, about 3 o'clock or so. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm surprised by that. I thought he did a good job this year.
Differences, wow. I guess. Philosophical differences, I think. There you go. He must hate analytics. So I have no idea what it is. He coaches by his gut.
No, knowing St. Louis, he probably liked analytics.
Yeah, there you go. Jack with the slap. That nobody in attendance has any idea what we mean. Enough with the baseball. We got a big football game, and it's coming up on Saturday. You've written a lot about it. Let me ask, are you going to any of the games? Are you going to this game on Saturday?
I'm not going. John Lewis is going, and okay. Eric might go, but I'm not going. I'm going to be actually at the red-white game on Saturday.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'll be home in time to watch it. I'm looking forward to
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Biggest Kentucky game I can remember in many, 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 many years.
What leading up to this game, I guess, general question, what interests you the most leading up to this game on Saturday? Anything?
What interests me the most, I guess, first from the Georgia standpoint, is if they're as good as everybody says they are. I mean, it's most of the discussion I've heard about their defense, this is not just the best defense in the country this season. It's the best defense people have seen in college football for a long, long time. And I'm not surprised by that because if you follow recruiting rankings, Georgia has knocked it out of the park now, 4 or 5 years since Kirby Smart's been there? They've got
absolutely
4 or 5-star dudes at every position, I guess, except that quarterback. From the Kentucky standpoint, it's going to be, you know, is this a game where they can – I have a hard time seeing them winning, but can they make Georgia sweat and, you know, really impress people across the country and saying, yeah, Kentucky really is good, which I think they are a good team. I've been saying that for a while. But, you know, I would just hate to see them go down there and get pummeled.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's my thing on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Is it going to be, well, it's Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to really, you know, if you want to confirm your spot as a number 11 team in the country, you got to go down there and, you know, take the game into late third quarter or fourth quarter. You can't get routed. And Georgia's, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of a couple weeks ago where everybody was hyping Arkansas and how good they were, and they went in there and, you know, I remember watching the game and, like, looked like Arkansas the first 3 or 4 possessions couldn't even get a first down.
Right.
You want to see Kentucky to be able to, you know, move the sticks early. And I would anticipate, you know, their game plan is to try and control the clock some, you know, try and have some longer drives and shorten the game a little bit so you can win and take some of Georgia's advantage in talent and athleticism out of the game. But this will be a real interesting snapshot of how much has the offense really changed. Because I think, you know, in the past when they've gone in these kind of games, you knew they were just going to run the ball. Well, this is a real test for
sure
your new coordinator and your new quarterback and your dynamic receiver. Are you going to be able to do something against a really elite defense? And that's what Georgia is. They're elite.
It's the I was going to make this, and Rick Bosich with us, I was going to make this analogy earlier in the show, but I just didn't. Quite frankly, I forgot about it. It's the midterm for this Kentucky football team, but it's a really difficult midterm. It's the most difficult midterm in the history of midterms, but I feel that way, right? I mean, you have to at this point feel that way. I still don't think they'll drop too much if they lose, and it's respectable, of course.
Right.
Respectability, what, you know, each person would have their own score there. But I'm excited for the game. You mentioned, you know, going up there, you don't want to see him get run over. I mean, what do you think happens? Like, what kind of game do you think? I still think they need to throw some. I think they need to let Will Levis do what he does.
Yeah. No, I think they do need to throw some. I think they need to. I mean, hopefully Josh Ali can play. That's a big factor because
I doubt he will. I mean, he got the bye week.
Yeah, they're down him and 2 defensive linemen. That's quite a bit. And I was reading some stuff about Georgia today saying, like, they're getting 3 of their 3 guys back from injury. So that's a bad trade-off. And you look at Georgia's numbers. What they've how many touchdowns have they given up this year? 3?
2.
4? Nobody scored more than 13 on them.
Correct.
Auburn got 1 touchdown. UAB got 1. I'm not sure. South Carolina had 13. I don't know if it was
they got
a
missed
extra
three
point
touchdowns.
Or a touchdown and 2 field goals. But anyway, I think that they've got to really impress people. I think they've got to, you know, beat the spread. And the spread's, what, 23? And they've won.
Yeah.
Georgia's won their last 5 by 24 or more. So nobody in the SEC's come within 24 of them. So that's tough. But they've got to keep it respectable. You don't want to see one of those games where they fall behind, you know, 14-0 in the first 8 minutes, and then all of a sudden they got to change the game plan. And you want to see them make Georgia earn their points, not give them any short fields or special teams or touchdowns off their defense. And you want to see Kentucky's offense. You know, their offensive line is good, and if how good they are, they'll have to prove it against Georgia.
Our guy Jason Enns texts us. He says the average drive against Georgia defense starts at the 25 and it ends at the 36. So that's not good.
Seven or eight, nine NFL guys. I mean,
yeah, but they're doing like it's the Bears. Like we don't need
that.
It's the
80.
It's the 85 Bears. Yeah. I mean, you were a Bears fan back then. That's shameful. What are we doing here? I mean, come on. Can we update that analogy a little bit? No offense to your Bears. I mean, can't we go right. with one of the Ravens teams or something like that? I mean, the Ravens won the Super Bowl, 2000? Let's go there.
Yeah, the Ray Lewis defense.
There's pressure on Georgia in this game, too, because if they lose to Kentucky, then Kentucky's got a two-game edge on them, right? I mean, because they'll be one game ahead of them in the SEC standings, and they'd have the tiebreaker. So Georgia can't afford to lose this game, really, if they want to win the SEC East. So yeah, I'm sure that that's got to be a little bit in their back of their minds, as much as they have to feel that they're at home and they're the better team and, you know, they're better at every position. They, at some point, have to know that it's a must-win for them, because otherwise then Kentucky gets to 7-0 and unbeaten in the SEC East, and they would have to lose twice for Georgia to win the SEC East.
Rick Bozich with us. I'm going to give you two just random thoughts and do with them what you want, okay? Okay, Rick, I mean, just two random thoughts. I think in this game, elite matters, so obviously I can go to Josh Pascal. I'm going to go to J.J. Weaver, who can guard, you know, tight ends, who can guard, you know, slower receivers, who can rush off the end. So I'm going J.J. Weaver is going to be one item. And item number two, Kentucky being down Oxendine and McCall, both of those guys, brings in some of their depth and some of their young guys. Justin Rogers, we're talking about true freshmen, are going to get snaps for Kentucky. I don't know how big of a deal it's for Saturday, because I don't expect Kentucky to win, but the other games, an improved Tennessee team, Mississippi State on the road, Louisville, well, we'll see about Louisville, coming up, those are my two thoughts. Those defensive line injuries, and I think if Kentucky keeps this close, J.J. Weaver's going to have to make some plays.
Yeah, I agree with both those things. What you look at is, you know, it's going to probably be hot down there, I would imagine, and you're going to want to play. The backups move up to become starters, and that's a slight drop-off in talent. But where the bigger drop-off in talent comes, where then if you want to give the new starters a blow, then the next guys that come in are usually, A, not as talented for sure, and B, not as experienced. And how are they going to respond in that kind of environment against that kind of talent? That's a big loss for Kentucky. I agree with what you're saying. And Weaver's a difference maker. He's going to have a big game. So is Pascal.
Rick Bozich with his WDRB at Rick Bozich. If you want to follow him there, of course, on your television or streaming, of course, at WDRB.com, getting ready for this game. All right, so I'm sure, are you guys going to put your official predictions up, what, tomorrow probably? Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. We'll be waiting.
I think I'm going to pick Georgia to win, but not cover. I think Georgia will win the game. I mean, I think Kentucky is a good team. I've said that from the beginning. I picked them 8-4 before the season, and they're going to probably exceed that unless they get ravaged by more injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kentucky's in a good spot, and they're a good team. And I wish they had their full complement of players in this game, because Georgia's a team that has separated itself a little bit.
I think need everyone.
Iowa's number two. I've seen Iowa. Iowa's offense is ordinary. I think Georgia's is the best team in the country by a pretty good margin.
Okay, so let's go to Louisville. The disaster over the weekend. 14 minutes to go. You're up 17.
Yeah.
That turns into a.
I was there.
Yeah, I know you were. I mean, there's big picture. I mean, there's things that it does for the season, okay? We start talking about can you make a bowl and all those other things, and then there's big picture items for U of L being a very middle-of-the-road ACC team. That front seven scares you if you're a Louisville fan. What did you make of the collapse and kind of the reaction as Louisville now has to have that bad taste in their mouth for 2 weeks given the bye week?
I sensed the frustration from Louisville fans. I even got some emails from some people who were very mad at the performance of the defense and the fact they only rushed three guys a lot of the time, and Armstrong back sat back there and picked them apart. And Eric Crawford and I talked about it some. He was a little bit critical of it, and I was like, well, I mean, it worked in the third quarter. It was in the fourth quarter where it didn't work. I think they only had 30 passing yards. It didn't work. And I think sometimes we're hesitant to give the other team credit, and I thought Armstrong was a really good quarterback, and I'm not sure what that – and a couple of those receivers were big and talented, and the fault I had with Louisville was more on offense than on defense. All they had to do was to drive down and get one more touchdown. All they had to do was, you know, kill more time on the clock to put more pressure on Virginia in the fourth quarter comeback, and they could do neither one. And so – I was less critical of the defensive performance and more critical of the offensive performance because Virginia's not that good on defense, in my opinion. And I thought the offense let it get away from them in the fourth quarter.
Wow, Rick's opposite of like 90%
well,
of the fans.
I mean, I don't disagree with him.
Absolutely not.
I still put it more on the defense, but I absolutely understand. I mean, the story of your season is you know your defense can't stop anybody. I mean, you know the best they can do is bend, don't break, which means allowing points or, you know, 50-50 plays or, you know, plays where the offense has the odds advantage there. So you know you're going to just have to flat out score teams. So when you go a quarter and you go three and out, and you, I mean, we did that. They had like they took like you know 9 seconds off the clock or something on one of those
like three straight runs.
Yeah,
like
I mean it was something like that. I can't you know remember exactly. Well, I mean big picture, Rick. I mean I just think they're a middle of the road ACC team that's trying to be better than Boston College, and you know I mean that's how I feel about them. That's sad to me. I mean
three of the last four games really. Could have been decided in the last possession, right? I mean, so, and they won one and lost two. The Central Florida, the game went their way. Virginia didn't go their way. They're going to be a team that's going to play two or three or four more games. They're going to go down to the fourth quarter, and if they make plays, they'll win, and if they don't make the plays, they're going to lose. They're not good enough against most of the teams they have left to just go out and dominate them and blow them out, but they are good enough to get in there and have a competitive game. So hopefully for them, this week off allows them to get a little healthier and refreshed and refocused, and you know maybe build some of their depth with some of the younger players who haven't played as much. And when they come back, you know, win a home game against Boston College. Aren't four of their last six at home? I mean, the schedule's in their favor.
You got Duke, you got Syracuse, and Syracuse looks a little bit better. Here's what I hate. Here's what I hate, Rick, and maybe I'm wrong, is and Louisville fans are – my opinion is, and I was very passionate about this on Monday, I believe Louisville fans are now starting to realize that, listen, I'm a New York Giants fan. When they won the Super Bowl, it took like 4 or 5 years, Rick, for people to say, wait a minute, this team sucks. And it's not just a couple years that they're not losing games. They're losing games every year, and it's not getting better every year. And they tried different coaches, and it's not getting better. And it was ACC takeover, what was it, 7 years ago, and we were talking about competing at the top of the ACC, and now it's like, hey, rally the troops and try to beat Boston College. And I get the
frustration, like, because if you look overall, it's like you don't really see a big collection of young guys who are saying, yeah, that guy's really going to be a stud, or that guy's really going to get better. It doesn't seem like they have enough players at this point. They got to get more players. They got to go out and recruit and improve their talent level. And if you look at the way they've recruited for next year, it's not happening. So I understand the concern. It's legitimate. But they are in a position, you know, the rest of the season, only two road games. One's at Duke. That's winnable. The other four are at home. They got to beat Boston College, Syracuse, and Duke and go 6-6 and
yeah.
considering the things that Louisville has achieved over the last decade and a half, that's not going to satisfy a lot of people. But that's the way it is right now.
Yeah. That was very fatherly, Rick. You're like, it's not going to appease you. And thank God, because, yes, I'm like, 6-6 isn't doing anything for me. It's not going to appease you, but that's just the way it is. No truer words.
When I was out there on Saturday, when you've been around in the past, and I don't know whether it's a lack of excitement about the program or it's a fallout from COVID or what it is, but, I mean, let's be honest, the atmosphere isn't great. I mean, they announced 40,000. There wasn't 40,000 there. There's a lot of empty seats, and we all remember so many games when the place was packed and it was electric and it was exciting, and that's not where it is now, and that kind of feeds into it. There's definitely a chunk of people who were into it 4, 5, 8 years ago who are not into it now. They're not showing up.
It saddens me.
That's scary. If I'm a Louisville person, that's got to be scary, because you got to bring people and get them excited about your product. Plus, there's the financial element of that, is you got to sell tickets.
Yeah, it was just sad. Yeah, it's just kind of sad. I don't know, and that's not me saying fire Satterfield. I don't know if he's got to pull a Calipari, Chris Mack, and change up his staff. I think that's probably going to be the case. I don't know why. The defense, yeah, that front seven just absolutely scares you. You asked the question, Rick Bozich with us, WDRB. You asked the question, can Indiana, save their season and win Saturday against Michigan State? The answer is no, Rick. I'm sorry. The answer is no. So, I've answered the question.
I'm saving their season, in my mind, is 6-6.
I agree.
Because I think I said 7-5 before the year, and I saw all these people that were saying 9 or 10 were insane, and they are insane. But 7-5 is now even insane. 6-6 to me is the best they can do, and I don't think they have any chance of getting to 6-6. If they don't beat Michigan State, because then they're going to be 2-4, they're going to get blown out by Ohio State 2-5, and then you have the whole negativity just going crazy around the program. My only thought, Michigan State, I know, is hyped and they're unbeaten, but they really haven't beaten anybody. And if you look, if Indiana would have played Michigan State's schedule and Michigan State would play Indiana's schedule, we'd be looking at a different thing. That's not the way it's turned out. But Indiana, according to Sagarin, has played the toughest schedule in the country. They played, three teams in the top seven, and they lost all three games, and two of them really weren't all three really weren't competitive, now that I think about it. But I think they can win Saturday. I'm not sure I'm going to pick them to win, but I think Michigan State's a little overhyped.
Okay. I mean, they're probably overrated. Their turnaround in 1 year is still great, but them being what are they, Jack? I mean, they're fringe top 10. Were they number?
They're ranked 10th.
The 10th. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I mean,
their best win is Miami.
There you go. Well,
Miami wants to fire Manny Diaz, but we don't know how Tuttle's going to play. He can't play any worse than Penix has played. Can't.
There you go. You're right. Yeah.
I don't know. Tuttle could move the ball on Ole Miss's defense.
God bless Penix for coming back from injury.
But he wasn't the same guy.
Hurt him. He's thrown picks for touchdowns, and he's got 7 picks and 4 touchdown passes, and he's completing less than 55% of his passes, and he's not a threat to run. Tuttle, I think, will be a better quarterback.
The Penix is stunk. Yeah, that dude stunk this year. I'm sorry, Jack.
He's
Tuttle. It's Tuttle time.
Team Tuttle, baby.
It's Team Tuttle. That's what's going on, Rick Bozich.
Team Tuttle.
It's Team Tuttle time.
Ole Miss had one of the worst defenses in SEC history last year, and Tuttle could move the ball against him.
I love how Jack knows we got to go to break to get Stuart Mandel, and he's giving chase.
That's also true. I'm trying to
shut up.
Rick, we got to take a break. We got Stuart Mandel coming up. Appreciate it. We'll talk with you next week. Enjoy the games. We'll be reading and watching about the scrimmage on Saturday. Take care. We'll talk with you next Thursday. Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Later, Rick. Take it easy.
All right. Rick Bozich with us, WDRB. How happy was Jack?
He thought we were going to sweep IU under the rug. And here we go with Tuttle takes. Yeah. I love it.
Well, He's not.
I probably shouldn't not bring him up.
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
Really, if
no,
we're being honest,
it's the right
if
thing
we're
to
being
do.
Honest,
yeah, it's the right thing to do.
Hey, a big thank you to Adam and his staff at Wing Zone, dropping off some catering today. That Wing Zone was fantastic. To the ESPN Louisville studios, they got you covered for all the big games this weekend. Your tailgates, anything else? Try the ESPN Louisville special: 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. Mention ESPN Louisville. It is good 7 days a week. They got the two locations, Hikes Point, the other, Poplar Level Road. Again, Wing Zone, wingzone.com, wingzone.com. Let's take a break. Stuart Mandel joins us next on The Take.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We're taking your thoughts on Joey Votto. Fred, go ahead.
And James Strebel.
My thoughts are, death to Floyd Street, Loserville sucks, you bums and blanker chip, L's down, you chump of a chump. Booyah!
The booyah got me.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Now going to join us here in just a second. It's The Take on a Thursday, getting you ready, excited for Friday, another loaded show, Football Friday, getting you ready for the games this weekend, Kentucky, Georgia, and much more. Reminder tonight, Thursday night football, Bucks and Brady at the Eagles. Wonder where the process watches that one. Bucks and Eagles, 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 680 105.7. And then over on 93.9 The Ville, Dodgers Giants Game 5. Who moves on? 8:30 and that one over on 93.9 The Ville. Well, let's talk some college football. Keep the previews going. Kentucky, Georgia, and much more. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. Stuart, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Man, we're good. I mean, this is a big game. We're excited for it. Everyone thinks, at least right now, that Georgia's going to win and probably going to win big, but still excitement for it. I know you think, obviously, Georgia's going to win, and they're going to win by quite a bit. What hope, though, can you give Kentucky fans? Is there any hope you can give Kentucky fans on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, the way Georgia's defense is playing, how dominant they are, I don't think it's realistic that Kentucky's going to score a lot of points. So really it comes down to, you know, the Georgia offense has been pretty good, but I don't know that they're necessarily elite. Turnovers. If Kentucky can force some turnovers, create some short field for themselves, that's probably the best recipe for an upset.
What do you make, big picture, what Stoops has done here? And I think we talked to you, it was like week two or whatever, two or three. So Kentucky had won a couple games. Maybe it's after that Missouri game. At that point, we thought that game meant something. And now we know the Missouri's not very good. I guess big picture, and then this season, what Mark Stoops has done, even in a loss on Saturday, even if they get beat up pretty good, I don't think this Kentucky team is going to flounder down the stretch, but I could be wrong.
I think that outside of this game against Georgia, there's no reason why Kentucky can't win the rest of their games. And then you're talking about a historic season for that program, you know, a chance at the very least to make a New Year's Six Bowl. And it's really a testament to the program he has built there. Very rare for in this day and age for there to be a gradual build like that. People want instant results and instant gratification, but he took his time. He did it the right way. And he's maintained it. You know, last year wasn't the kind of record that you would want, but it was also a really weird year, and they obviously played an entirely SEC schedule. And so they shook that off. He got some really important transfers, and I do think that's a big part of their story. And here we are with a chance to, you know, have one of the best seasons in the history of the program.
Stuart, you know what the word? You know the only bright spot, because Kentucky last year during the COVID year was, to me, as disappointing as you could get. They hit the bottom offensively, and that spurred change because Stoops wasn't changing. And, like, it's different potentially going into Saturday's game and what they've done at 6-0 and the rest of the season because they can throw a little bit. I mean, what was it? Last year was 14-3. Yeah. I mean, Kentucky was just running up the middle, down 11, mm-hmm. just not like acting like they weren't trying to win the game, but they had covered the spread. And maybe they get smoked on Saturday and they get blown out and nothing has changed. But I just feel that the only positive from last year was hitting rock bottom offensively, passing the football. It spurred a change that had to be made with Kentucky football, and that has changed things, and it's helped them win games, and it helped them blow out LSU on Saturday.
Yeah, the year before that, when Lynn Bowden had to play quarterback, that was kind of seen as a feel-good story.
Yep.
I think by last year, the notion of running a completely one-dimensional offense had worn thin, and now, it's one thing to fire the offense coordinator. You got to get the next hire right, and he really did. This was a really creative hire, and he's doing great things there, obviously. You know, you also had to get the quarterback, and he wasn't necessarily on their roster already, so they went out and they picked the right transfer quarterback in Will Levis, and then obviously Wandale Robinson has helped as well. So, you know, all of those things have aligned, and I think you're right. I don't think they would be necessarily on the course they are if they were still running that same one-dimensional offense.
Yeah, I mean, and again, they ran the football. So, I mean, they were good at running the football. We all knew that they could play some defense, but every game had to be played according to the Stoops script. And soon as Stuart, we went off the Stoops script, we know what was going to happen. Stuart Mandel with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. Do you think Stoops's name, if they keep winning, do you think Stoops's name will be brought up and it will be legit that he'll have interest if some of these jobs open up? Kentucky's a good job. He'll get another raise this year, up way up over $5 million, top 15 paid coach in the country. It's a great job for Mark Stoops. What do you make of potentially his name being brought up in the silly season?
Yeah, I think it will be. And you know, I don't know if he wants to leave or not, but you have two things going on in the same year. They're having this potentially historic season, and really big jobs are opening. USC, LSU, we assume, possibly Miami, where he has previous experience. So it's kind of the perfect year to, if you're, you know, when you're a coach, you have to kind of strike while the iron's hot, because who knows what happens from here. So if he's feels like this is the time to do it, he's probably going to have some pretty good options. But mm-hmm. like you said, Kentucky's a good job. You're in the SEC. You know, you go to LSU and Ed Orgeron won a national title 2 years ago, and he's going to get fired.
You ain't going 7-5, 8-4. Yeah,
you can't have even one down year like Stoops had last year. So there's something to be said for that, to be at a program where they want to win. Well, no doubt about that, but they're not operating at that level.
Stuart Mandel with us. Nationally, Georgia hasn't won this in, 40 years? I mean, this has to be their year, right? And that only got expedited being number one. And, I mean, look at it. Alabama losing. I mean, this is, like, that's the groundswell here is on the Georgia side. This is the year you win the national championship.
Yeah, if not this year, when?
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're the one team in this year where it's been very, there's been so many upsets. And you're seeing some new blood. You're seeing Iowa and Cincinnati in the top three in the country. They've been the one team that's dominated week in, week out. And really, you know, I think it would take something pretty catastrophic for them not to make the playoff. Once you're in the playoff, anything can happen.
Right.
And, you know, I compare it to the great 2016 Alabama team that had this, you know, suffocating defense that much like kind of like Iowa this year. They seemed like they would force three or four turnovers a game. There was some ridiculous number of non-offensive touchdowns they had. And then they got into the national title game against Deshaun Watson and Clemson and lost on a touchdown with 1 second left, right? So nobody can sit here and say, that team's definitely going to win the national championship.
Right.
A lot of things have to line up. But at the very least, they should – I mean, this is the year to beat Alabama because they're vulnerable, to beat Alabama and win the SEC and get in there, and then you got a shot.
Stuart Mandel with us on ESPN 680 1057. Stenson Bennett, is he good enough? Is that their weakness? I mean, I think he's fine. And JT Daniels, who knows what's going on there? Is he good enough for the season? And, I mean, that might be, getting to him might be the way that Kentucky can be in this game in the third and fourth quarter.
I think he's good enough. You know, last year, the games that he was in and lost, their defense gave up a lot of points. They're not in that, right now at least, they're not playing those kind of games where the offense is going to have to score 30-something points to win the game. I think it'll be interesting to watch how Kirby Smart does manage the situation, because if JT Daniels is healthy here soon, mm-hmm. and it's really, you know, by all indications, it's not a major injury, is he necessarily guaranteed to get that job back? Do you want to mess with a good thing? We'll see. I mean, we'll see how, first of all, we'll see how Stetson Bennett does this week against a really good Kentucky defense. If he does well, yeah, I think then you have to start to think about whether you want to mess with that, even though everybody believes, and probably rightfully so, that they have, you know, the offense is probably going to be a little more explosive if Daniels is back at quarterback.
Yeah, it's a higher upside thing, but, you know, JT Daniels is never available, right? He's just never available. I mean, you got to be available, and that's not the case. Stuart Mandel with us. A couple more, we'll get you out of here. I'm not trying to act like you watch Louisville, Virginia, but Louisville was up 17 with 14 minutes to go and gave it away, and they're 3-3, and people are just not happy. Stuart, I don't know what else to say. They're not happy, and they said ACC takeover a couple years, you know, several years ago, and they feel like, hey, you know, you can't beat, you know, Wake Forest and Virginia. And I know Wake Forest is a fine team, and Boston College is coming up after the bye. It's a crossroads time in the season, and it's getting to a crossroads time in the program. And that's where we are with Louisville. So do you have any opinion on anything that I said there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, okay. Like, it's very frustrating, but at the end of the day, they lost by 3 points on the road against an undefeated team, a top 25 team in Wake Forest. And then blew that game against Virginia and lost by a point. So it's not like
it's
unbelievable. I mean, they're obviously better than they were last season. And yep. Now it's okay. You've got six games to turn things around and end up with a pretty decent record. They're going to have to start winning some of these close games. I think they're on the right track, but I totally understand how frustrating it must be to be a Louisville fan, where they put up, you know, how many yards did they put up last week and still lose the game?
It's over 500 yards. Yeah, they put up back-to-back games. They've lost over 500 yards and over 30 points. Now, the offense also clammed up a little bit in the fourth quarter. And this Louisville's front seven is just it's not good enough to win games in the trenches. And that's the scary part, you know, because Satterfield, the offense is fine, right? I mean, over 500 yards, over 30 points, like, you're fine. But defensively, I mean, we thought this was a top 35 defense or so, Stuart. I mean, they're you know, in the 100s right now, and that's just not good enough. And that's, Louisville fans are frustrated right now. They don't want to be 6-6.
I think, you know, Scott Satterfield did himself no favors by having that really good first season and making everybody believe that the program was further along than it was after Petrino left. But obviously by year three, nobody cares about where the program was when you got there, or how much of the recruiting classes still need to be, you know, that you don't fully have all your recruiting classes yet. So I wouldn't panic. I mean, I know you just said nobody's going to be happy with 6-6, but it's an improvement from last year. I think getting to a bowl game would be good for them. And look, the ACC is not very good.
No, it stinks.
let's be blunt about it. Who knows what's going to happen with Clemson? But there's nobody else in that division that has an automatic advantage over Louisville. So if he gets things going in the right direction, going in, getting some momentum going into next season, you know, there's not a big hill to climb there to be back to winning 9-10 games.
It is a great quote from you. It's not a long hill to climb. You're exactly right. The ACC has been quite something. Stuart Mandel with us. Does Lincoln Riley have an easy decision this weekend? And what did you make of the Oklahoma student newspaper going up in a public building and watching practice? It's fantastic.
I admire their hustle. You know, as a journalist, I can't help but admire their hustle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would have advertised it, right, and gotten, you know, maybe a source close to the program or something like that, instead of, hey, we just climbed to the top of a building, tried to stop us.
They bragged about it. Yeah, they bragged about it.
They bragged about it and got media access shut down for the whole beat, which, is unfortunate. And you know, just really paranoid on the part of Lincoln Riley. But hey, yeah. Thanks to their enterprising efforts, we know that Caleb Williams is getting first team reps, and that's no surprise. I mean, after that remarkable performance against Texas, how could he not hold on to the job? It is a entirely unprecedented situation that the preseason Heisman favorite has lost his job.
It's unbelievable.
The season, but he was just playing so poorly. It wasn't, wasn't like he had failed to progress from last season. He had regressed considerably, and I don't know, maybe he lost his confidence or something. But gosh, watching Oklahoma in the second half last week, you're like, okay,
it's unbelievable.
This is a Lincoln Riley offense. This is what we've come to expect from a Lincoln Riley offense. We'll see if he can follow it up. I mean, I think it's good that he's playing at home this week against the TCU team. And this is strange to say about Gary Patterson's team, but they're terrible on defense. So I think he's got a chance to put up more big numbers and gain more confidence.
Quick hitters that can be one-word answers from Stuart Mandel. Does Iowa make the college football playoff?
No.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I don't know why I'm obsessed with this. I love Ole Miss and Matt Corral. Does Ole Miss beat to Tennessee? Do they go to Tennessee and win after that emotional high of beating Arkansas last week? I think this is a trap game where a top 10, you know, what are they? What's Ole Miss, 13? That a top team could lose in.
I don't have a one-word answer for that. But, yes, I think Ole Miss will win. I think it's great what Tennessee is doing under Josh Heupel. They're exciting to watch now. But I think people may be getting a little bit carried away, forget that they scored 10 points against Florida a couple weeks ago.
Fair point.
I just think Ole Miss is further along as a program.
Stuart, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll keep following and reading and everything there. You can find his picks against the spread and all the other stuff that the college football staff does over there at The Athletic. Stuart, appreciate the time, sir. Have a good weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Stuart Mandel. Little Stuart Mandel on a Thursday.
I like that.
By the way, Jack, when do you think you'll have that sound?
I'm looking for it right now.
Okay. You know what I know exactly what you mean.
Yes.
With me? What
with
I do?
With you?
I don't know.
Did anyone catch it? Jack, did you catch it? You caught it, did you not?
No, because Enz was telling me about
it. Because Enz was talking about his date, his soccer. Enz!
Let the man work.
I mean, he didn't hear it. When he was talking about Louisville.
Yeah.
And you go, oh. like you were so engrossed in the conversation, and it was fake, it was phony, and it needs to be cut at some point. But we got Enz talking about Alexi Lawless.
Oh, Alexi Lawless. I can't. You know what? I can't name Landon Donovan. There we go. I can't name another old school soccer player, Landon Donovan. But I wasn't engrossed with Stuart Mandel was saying because I don't.
Let's just go to break.
You're fumbling. Well, I mean, he was like, "Oh, just one, thing here or there," and da 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 da. And I'm like,
Well, Louisville fans don't agree with that.
They don't. No. I agree. Yes.
Plus, national people aren't watching Louisville.
No, I did like how you phrased the question.
That's a difficult thing. I'm like, Stuart, I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Yeah. You weren't locked in.
If you were a national guy at 4 o'clock, finding RSN or ACC Network.
Like, how do I find this?
To break down Brennan Armstrong. Right. I mean, what are we doing
Bronco
here?
Bronco versus Scat.
Ugh. Get a bigger shirt, too, Bronco.
He looked like
mixing a salad, bum.
You see that those sunglasses he was wearing?
I don't like anything about him.
I don't either.
He's so Virginia.
I sit there watching that game because I'm laughing at Scott Satterfield. Then they pan over Bronco Mendenhall. I was like, I don't like him at all.
No, Satterfield looks great.
He does. He looks like a football coach.
He's in great shape. He does the black on black.
I like it. He's got the visor, the play sheet. He looks like a football coach.
Yes, he does.
Bronco Mendenhall looks like he just stumbled into the game.
They're two different looks.
Satterfield's got the look.
They're two different looks.
I like Scott's better.
I'm sure he cares after you called names for 2 years.
Good point.
Let's take a break. I'm sure. I can't imagine one person he cares less about. I'm trying to think. Scott Satterfield cares more about what Matt Jones thinks about him than you.
Oh, 100%. I agree with that. Yeah.
Does Scott Satterfield know who Ryan Lemon is? 267-9680.
Yes.
I'm going with no on that.
Oh, I bet he does.
I bet he does.
I bet he's got people following KSR.
Well, yeah, but that. Him. Yeah, I'm sure he does that, but I don't think the report. This is not Jurich era. Where
good,
everyone's.
Good point.
Where,
the FBI era.
Where Big Easy's being threatened. Let's take. Get your ass in here, Vannetti.
Vannetti,
you're gonna meet your damn makeup, Vannetti.
Did you hear what Easy said, Vannetti?
Oh,
you got to pay for that. Pay the piper.
Let's pay the piper. I mean, what kind of? I mean, where's that from?
I don't know.
How musty is that?
Very.
Let's pay the piper, Jack. Pay the piper. I don't know if Jack's looking. If he can even hear us.
I don't know what's going on.
Jack,
yeah.
Can I take a break?
Yeah, take a break.
Still, okay.
I haven't found it yet, but take a break.
I mean, it was right after I texted you.
I don't want to do this.
He did a groan in the mic.
I have the 4 minutes of him, of when you guys were talking Louisville. I might just literally listen through that entire 4 minutes for
well, there
it.
We go. Yes.
Sorry, Jack.
Quick break. We'll wrap up the show next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
What are you going to do on Twitter with these Louisville fans?
And James Strebel.
Because you have a decision to make.
I mean, I'm going to be mean and ugly.
Okay,
I'm going to tell them to bleep off.
Okay,
I'm going to tell every single one of them to go to their poverty football program and to get the hell out of here. That's what I'm going to do, Andy. I'm going to tell them you have a poverty football program. You have a poverty football coach. You have a poverty football crowd. You go sit in that. Go sit in it. Don't talk to me about being 6-1 and trying to make fun of that. Shut up. You lost to Wake Forest in Virginia. Shut up.
I love how that goes very quick to trap music.
Yeah, it does.
I love that. Shut up. Hey, here's some T.I.
Yeah, a little T.I. on a Thursday. Yeah.
The tip. The original tip.
ATL.
I need Jack to reenact. And you can have whatever you like.
Oh, what a great song. Whatever you like. Yeah!
Jack, do you have any idea what I mean when I say that? Like, any idea whatsoever. Please tell me you do. All right.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm still trying to find the dang Strebel groan.
The dang groan?
The dang groan.
Dang.
The dang.
Wow. Say dang.
The dang, because it's frustrating me that I haven't found it yet.
That's going to be the name. That's going to be the name of the hour.
The
dang.
The dang. Yes.
Jack said dang.
The dang.
Oh, you're me say damn.
Yes.
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
All right, the
no,
damn groan.
You
there
don't
we go.
Have
I'm going
to say, you don't have to say that. It's just. I just haven't heard the word dang in a while. It surprised me. I slightly recoiled, but that's fine as well.
It's a little Pratt tomorrow.
Soccer City coming up after us. Who's on Soccer City?
Casey Whitfield.
Yeah.
Jeff Greer.
Yeah.
Lance McGarvey.
There you go.
Chasing Itz.
There you go. Lance McGarvey complained about officiating last night. He's got a little bit of the Lou City blank in him.
Whoa! Lou City blank.
He's got
Baker.
A little. He's not, you know, full.
Not full on.
Yeah, I mean, I would never compare him to a master.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but like, he's got some good chops.
He's not going to write letters to the league.
I think he said the USL need to apologize.
Oh, that
right?
is very blank.
They need
Baker.
To answer for their sins.
Yeah, I like that coming from McGarvey.
Whenever someone calls out a league on Twitter, we can have a conversation.
Yeah, that puts you up a notch.
Texas says, Sat looks like he doesn't like football. I disagree.
I think he's very interested in football is the way he looks to me.
Texas says, 13-10 Kentucky, book it, Strebel, you're going to miss one hell of a postgame. Well, he's going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Yeah, what are you talking about, miss a postgame? I'll be on this postgame. It's the Mississippi State postgame that I'm going to miss. Not this one. I'll be there for this.
There you go.
Hell yeah. Pre-game. And postgame.
It's a lot of time with Jason Entz.
It's a lot of time with
you
Entz.
And Jason Entz. A little bromance.
Yeah, a little bro date going on.
A little bro date going on. Maybe, you guys should go out to lunch.
Maybe get a wing or a slice.
A wing. How about that?
You know, Jason Entz, what do you think about first half bar? What about it? Let's go.
How about that?
That's what I'm talking about. you know?
Jack, you're not going to find it, are you? Do you have a piece of sound that you want to play, or are you just all in on trying to find this?
I'm defeated.
It's okay.
Oh, don't be
it's
defeated.
Okay. It's okay.
Here, I got a Greer clip that I think you guys will like.
All okay. right, good. Let's get some Jeff Greer on a Greer's Thursday. Been good today. Sure, yeah.
Calling it a press gaggle at 1:15 today with Sam Williamson, and I want to lead into that, Nick, because
the Zoom gaggle.
It's a Zoom gaggle.
The Zoom gag Zoom sounds kinky.
Gaggle. It's a gaggle.
I did like that. Jeff Greer drops some gems every once in a while. I tell you, I like Greer. I like what Greer's doing.
Guy came in here with food poisoning. You see this face? This is the face of a trooper.
You look exactly
this
the same.
This is the face of a guy who comes to work with food poisoning. You know why? Because he loves his fellow man.
Give me the blanket baker drop.
What?
Cock mural.
What? A mural.
Oh man. Go ahead. Go play that again.
Please.
Cock mural.
What's he talking
about? Cock mural.
Oh, man.
He can't talk like that in the alley.
It's the only thing you can't do at the alley. I'm sorry. Soccer City next.